Invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians and the 13th chapter. The topic this morning is from the 7th verse, and that is about bearing all things or enduring all things. I have to say that I've known relative ease in my life. I have known no financial hardships. Think of all the different trials of life and the deaths that I've experienced in my family's extended family have mostly been natural. I've had myself a few health problems over the years, as have my wife and kids. A scare here and there maybe, but relatively healthy. And you know, this is true for a lot of people. We haven't really had to endure a lot of those kinds of things. So when we are called upon to endure smaller things, it is not what a lot of people in the history of the world would, say, experience. I suppose I endured some physical exertion doing the whole track and field thing, but that was something that I wanted to do. There are many people who are called upon, of course, today that we know that are enduring many physical trials. That's not to say that no one's going through that, of course. But we are called upon as Christians to endure, to bear all things. In the context of 1 Corinthians 13, however, one thing that has been universally difficult to endure throughout all time is people. We all have to endure people. And that is what Paul is talking about. As you know, 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love, and not just love in general, but a specific kind of love. We're talking about loving one another. And Paul is rebuking the Corinthian Christians for their lack of love toward one another. They are exalting their own giftedness over and above others' gifts, as we read in chapter 12 and the chapter after this one in chapter 14. And they're tolerating division among each other. And so Paul is writing this love chapter in the middle of these two other chapters that are talking about spiritual gifts. He's having to correct their viewpoint and how they're causing harm to one another because of their lack of love. And Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians 13 that patience and kindness should be their as well as our main responses to people. And every description in this chapter of love, every description is an action word. It's a verb. It's action. Love is active. We do this. It, for example, suffers long with people. It is patient. It is kind. These are actions. He tells us that when we take initiative in certain situations, that love will have to deny itself. Love denies itself regarding jealousy. Love is not jealous. Love denies itself regarding bragging. Love doesn't brag. Love is not arrogant. Doesn't act shamefully. It's not selfish. And that Paul tells them that they should not act a certain way when others first respond to them. He's telling them they shouldn't act a certain way when other people take the initiative. There's some refusals here. There's three of these because there will be people who will rub you the wrong way. But love, it says, refuses to be provoked to anger. There will be people who sin against you and make mistakes. But love refuses to take any of that wrong suffered into account. And when there is opportunity to gloat over somebody else's wrongdoing, love refuses to do that. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Doesn't rejoice in a report of somebody else's sin or somebody else's mistake. But instead, love rejoices when the truth prevails. And in our text this morning, in verse 7, we have four descriptions of how love is boundless. How love is boundless. It's limitless. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The idea of verse 7 in a word is this, that love always perseveres, and love always remains hopeful. As difficult as this verse is, it's my understanding that the first description there, bears all things, and the last description, endures all things, are basically synonymous. And then the middle two are basically synonymous. They mean basically the same thing. Both Greek words, for example, for bear and for endure are translated elsewhere as endure, as persevering. And in those middle two, hope and trust, believe, they have overlapping meanings as well. For example, I trust the Lord. I trust in Him alone to save me from my sin. I trust in Him for that today, and He has done that. I also trust in Him for the future because He has promised that He will give me eternal life, everlasting life. He's given me eternal life now, and I will experience that forever in the future. I trust in Him for that. We could also say, as the Scripture does, I hope in the Lord for that. I hope, I have confidence in Him that He will do that because He's promised it. So you can see, trust and hope also have overlapping meanings. So this morning we're only dealing with the first one and the last one then, bearing all things and enduring all things. So here's kind of the big point this morning. It's really easy that love perseveres in loving. Love perseveres in loving. You can think of it as, you can think of it this way, that love never gives up. There is nothing that it cannot face. Love puts up with anything, holds out during everything. Love perseveres. Love keeps on loving. Now, I want to emphasize this morning, once again, that the ability to persevere in everything does not come from ourselves. To really grow in our love, whether patience, kindness, or what we're talking about this morning, in persevering love, a love that keeps on going, we need to change our perspective about how growth happens in somebody. You know, I've been mentioning this story recently in conversations. It's finally making itself this morning into a sermon illustration. But when I was a lost person going to college in Illinois, there was a mixed martial artist on my track team. And he showed me an example of how you could be stronger if you simply change your perspective. He had me put my arm over his shoulder, and he had me lock it like that at the elbow. Then he tried to pull it down and tried to break the lock there on my elbow. And he did it with relative ease. And then he said, now do this. As you put your arm over my shoulder, it was a little strange, but he said, picture water coming out of your fist. And so I did that, and he pulled down on my arm, and at least what he told me was that it was harder for him to pull it down. So this time, at that time, that second time, I was trying to keep my arm straight. But the first time, I was simply trying to hold it up. A different perspective helped me gain strength. And so often in the Christian life, we can think of ourselves as making progress. But we're making progress, perhaps, just like lost people would. Lost people can stop viewing pornography. Lost people can go to anger management class taught by a psychologist. Lost people can see a benefit in getting help from other people and doing some programs of some kind and learning not to sin on the outside like that. But the Lord's way of changing us is from the inside out. The power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ and his cross work and resurrection power, is all of that is to fundamentally change the heart. It changes us from the inside out. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free and then empowers that sinner with the glories of the resurrection so that he might walk in newness of life. Whole another ballgame there. And so we seek the Lord and his strength. We seek his face. We pursue him and pursue his love that he has put on display. And it is the design of God, as we meditate on these things and give ourselves wholly unto them, that we profit then from the inside out. So not only do I not commit adultery on the outside, I learn not to commit adultery on the inside either. By God's grace, I do not murder somebody literally, but I also do not hate them or even be angry at them in my heart. Not only am I not angry with them when they sin or make mistakes, but I actually show patience toward them. And not only do I not just show patience toward them, I actually show kindness to them, even to my enemies. That is the power of the cross and what he does. It's a power that no man could ever know through just some man talking to some other man about it. It is the power of God at work in the heart. It is only then from the Lord Jesus Christ and from his work on the cross and the resurrection. And that is why when we seek him with all our hearts and then we find him and we pursue him on that point even, that we grow leaps and bounds beyond what would be humanly possible. As the hymn goes, channels only, blessed Master, with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. So it takes being connected to Christ every day. That's how we're going to grow in our love, and in this case, growing in our enduring love for one another. So again, our text, verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And we're dealing with the first one and the last one, and bearing all things and enduring all things. And again, the idea is that love perseveres. It keeps on loving. The fact that love bears all things and that it endures all things tells us that love is boundless. It's going to keep going. It endures all things. Nothing can stop it. So love then can put up with any difficulty and keep on loving. Now, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what this word meant, bearing all things. And there are a few opinions about what it would mean in this kind of a context. And mercifully, I won't give you all of my research on this, but just to tell you that I believe that it has the same idea in the basic context of 1 Corinthians 13, back in chapter 9. So if you turn back to chapter 9, Paul has already used this word. And so we would understand it to mean the same thing in chapter 13 as well. But in chapter 9, Paul is emphasizing that he has the same right as other apostles to eat and drink. And he has the same right even to take a wife. And to live based on the income that he would get through giving the gospel to other people. He has this right. But in the 12th verse of 1 Corinthians 9, he says that even though he has this right, instead he says he endures all things so that he would not cause a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. So he's deprived himself of his own rights. In order to allow the gospel, in order to make sure the gospel is going forward. Those rights included his right to eat and drink certain things of all things, right? You know, with the Jewish food laws and that, it could offend certain people. He didn't want to do that. In certain cases, he would do that. In certain cases as well, he could have taken a wife, right? But instead, he remained single. He could have taken up an offering, as it were, among the Corinthians, but he deprived himself even of that right. Why? So that the gospel would go forward more productively among those in Corinth. And so not eating and drinking certain things, not taking a wife, refusing an offering from the Corinthians, demanded then, in that kind of a circumstance, that he bear all things. That he persevere in the middle of all of those difficulties. Paul bears, he perseveres during the poverty that he's experiencing for the sake of the gospel, so that others wouldn't believe that he's just trying to earn a living from his preaching. And so he is enduring all things. Now that is the same kind of idea here in 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That love is persevering. It perseveres towards others. Love keeps on loving. It endures all things. Now, the word proper there, endure, at the end of verse 7, also refers to the kind of spirit that you would have to go through difficult trials. You must endure them. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, this word occurs in the context of Paul enduring afflictions. He's enduring hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, hunger. He's enduring all of this. So clearly that last word there, verse 7, about enduring all things has reference to bearing up under pressure. Love puts up with anything, holds out during everything, perseveres through it all. Love keeps on loving. Now, humans, we can practice this on a number of levels. Mothers, for example, do this. Dads, we don't have as much experience with this as the mothers do. A mother will ceaselessly support her children, help them, and endure them. How difficult it is sometimes to deal with the ignorance, the lack of facts, the lack of experience, the anger, the despair that can be in a child. The joys of motherhood we can understand as well. She's available, though, 24 hours a day, gets up in the middle of the night. A typical mother, through all of that, has learned to endure to some extent what goes on there in the home. And of course, that quality of enduring is not just for mothers, but for all of us. Enduring is a necessary quality that is going to accompany somebody who is saved. For example, Paul teaches in Romans chapter 5 that everyone who is declared righteous by God is so by faith. And we have peace with God, and we have, and we're to rejoice. He says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But he says also that we rejoice, and this is hard, right? But that we rejoice in our tribulations, our difficulties. We rejoice in them because we know that tribulation brings about what? It brings about this very thing we're talking about. You have difficulties in your life, it's going to bring about perseverance. Yesterday, our family was having what's popularly known as a bad day. Okay, you ever have one of those? Okay, I think as I reflect back on it, yeah, we were having a bad day. 2.5 kids. Yes, if you kind of divide it up that way, 2.5 kids are upset over their math. It's one thing when one child is upset about their math, but two at the same time upset about their math. One of the children was saying at another time how everything was going wrong. Everything. Couldn't get this to work on the computer. Couldn't do this or that. This wasn't going right. Nothing was going right. And I tell you, in a time like that, everyone in that household is learning endurance. Mom and dad, are as well, trying to exhibit patience during the whole thing and instructing each other. And I was teaching one of them that you can't do such and such right now is actually a good thing. You're learning perseverance. Of course, it was really easy because I knew what I was going to preach on this morning, right? I mean, that was fresh on my mind. Okay, it is a learning of perseverance. It's hard, though, of course, in those moments when you are having difficulty to believe that this is good. Because your viewpoint, of course, is this is not good, right? But it is indeed good. Just think about it broadly, maybe in your life, that the economy is down is a good thing. That machine won't do whatever it is supposed to do, a good thing. That crazy tool is broke is a good thing. That the kids or the parents, right? Okay, good thing. We are enduring. We need to endure and endure in those moments in our love for each other. And when Peter discusses adding to our faith in his second letter, he says that we are to add to our self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. So perseverance is a necessary quality to the Christian life. So it is no wonder that James says how spiritually prosperous is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those who persevere under trial are said right there to love the Lord. He keeps on loving. And so Paul is capturing this concept of perseverance, and he's applying it now. He's applying it to our relationships towards one another. That's where the focus is, enduring in our relationships towards one another. To love each other requires that we endure one another. Love perseveres in its love. Love keeps going. Nothing can stop love. Love keeps on loving. This endurance that we have toward each other is what Christ exhibited when he was on the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 says that he endured the cross. And we're to endure one another. Sometimes it can be like that, like a cross. It can be very difficult sometimes. We are all sinners here. We are sinners. But we will, by God's grace, through the power of his love toward us, we will need to endure each other at times and keep on actively loving one another. And nothing should stop that active love that we have towards one another. It's the same with Job. Job gives this example of endurance, doesn't he? James said that he endured sufferings that he went through. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. And his kids, all of them. But he endured, he pressed on, he kept going, he kept serving the Lord. And on top of all that, he had to endure his three friends who kept trying to counsel him. Right? That's difficult. That's what love does. Love doesn't stop serving Christ just because there is some heartache or anything. Love is strong. It keeps going. It commits to Christ and to his body, the church, and it serves and it doesn't stop. Love is valiant, it's brave, it's courageous like that. Even when I have something to deny in myself, I don't feel like it. That's okay. I'm going to love you anyway, right? That's the viewpoint. It's like a wounded warrior who perseveres in the fight. And he goes out there and he saves his wounded comrades. The battle is fierce all around. But he braves the gauntlet fire, rushes into the battle to the rescue. He's a hero. Despite everything inside of him screaming, "Save yourself," he denies himself, he denies his feelings, and he bravely endures. The opposite would be the coward who sees a need who sees the trouble, he sees the battle, and instead of enduring with sinners saved by grace, he runs and he flees the fight, doesn't endure, he doesn't put up with others. Maybe she gets touchy and snappy. He won't help others anymore. They don't serve Christ like they used to. What's going on? There's no endurance. The love has stopped. Instead of seeing it through to the victory and loving graciously the other person, he either runs or gets angry or scoffs at the other whom he views as sinning or making mistakes. No, right? We valiantly endure. We courageously fight in the battle with each other. Together we love and keep on loving, no matter how difficult it is. You say, but you don't understand what is actually going on, what the other person has done. I can't endure that. Oh boy, sounds like someone has murdered somebody. Well, legally, I guess we'd have to... that's not what happened? Well, I'm pretty sure then that we can be on the same team and we can love each other through this. I think we can, by God's grace. Christ endured the wrath of God for you. Could you not endure the wrath of man, even if it was that? Could you endure somebody else's, as in the context here, 1 Corinthians 13, could you endure somebody else's lack of giftedness? They're not talented enough, they're not spiritually gifted enough. Could you keep on loving them and serving Christ with them, even though, you know, maybe they've been mean, crude, overly sensitive, unwise, they're below average, they're foolish, they're incompetent? Answer, of course I can endure with them. I'll endure them. I'm going to keep on loving them. I'm going to keep on loving them. I'll never be separated from Christ's love. That's true. Why should anything separate us from our love for each other? Otherwise, if we give up and stop enduring with his people, we're not enduring with his body, we're not enduring as he has given that example. We serve Christ in part by serving others. We love Christ when we are loving others. We practice Christ's endurance when we are enduring with one another. But imagine, for example, if Job just gave up. He just threw in the towel. Wouldn't be counting him as blessed who endured, would we, as James puts it? Imagine if you have a great need, spiritual need, maybe a great physical need, and maybe you're struggling. And you, as you should, you call upon the members of his body for help. But imagine if people simply just gave up on you, stopped serving Christ with you, and abandoned you to your spiritual or physical need. Oh, he's picky, or she is so obnoxious, or he grates on me or rubs me the wrong way, or I don't like his style, or he's too harsh, she lacks compassion. No, right? We don't give up on each other. Love keeps going. Love perseveres, and it's love. We surround each other with love and help and kindness and grace, and we keep at it with each other for the glory of God and for the example of his love that he's shown to us. So if somebody is suffering temptation as well, for example, and we, by God's grace, receive the comfort. We've had a measure of success there, and we've received the comfort and encouragement from Christ on that. Then we spread that to others. We don't look down our nose that they're going through the struggle. Oh, I cannot believe that they are doing this. This is so bad. No, we are a source of help. We're a source of encouragement. We're a source of comfort for them. And the Lord may be using you or us to help them, to provide a way of escape for them. And God rewards that kind of service. Could you imagine, though, giving up? What a tragedy that would be. But I want Christ to be able to say of us, like he did to the city of Ephesus, the Christians in Ephesus, when he says there, in part, this is the good part, Revelation 2:2-3, when Christ says of them, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you have found them to be false, and you have persevered. You have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Oh, what a courageous thing they've gone through. So how are we doing? Are we growing weary in our love? Do we think that discipleship is too wearisome and difficult to get involved, too challenging? People begin to open up, and you know what? I don't want to open up, and this whole thing, you know. No, we're called upon to endure each other, all right? And called upon to persevere in our love towards each other. So do we feel like we can't endure being with so-and-so because they just are just, hey, this isn't endurance. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If someone's sin, mistakes, or quirks causes you to want to avoid them, you have a small love. You're not enduring. You're not putting up with them. If you stop serving Christ in a certain way because someone is offensive to you, you're not enduring. You have a small love. But big love puts up with, together with each other. If you can't stand someone's lack of giftedness, even though they are serving in that capacity, so you complain about them like the Corinthians complained about others, including Paul, you do have a small love. That is true. But if a man kills my family, love would visit him in prison and even keep the lines of communication open there. That would be a big love. And we would value somebody like that, who had that kind of enduring love. So which is it? Do we have a big or a small love? I can tell you right now that I, listening to my own voice and having written this sermon, I definitely feel the limits of my own love. And it is difficult to endure sometimes. It is very difficult at times to endure. And I have rebuked myself this morning. There are certain things, of course, that are more difficult than other things to endure. And we can all think of our own times where we would struggle to endure. And I can think of those times. And it would be tempting in those times to give up. So we all need to grow. And so if you feel yourself rebuked this morning, like I do, this is a good thing. Okay? It takes endurance sometimes just to hear that kind of stuff, right? But it is the design of the passage. So what do we need to do about it? What do we do? I'd like to have you turn now to Hebrews chapter 12. You turn to Hebrews chapter 12. As we said, and as we have been saying, we cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. By the way, it dawned on me this past week that you can't actually do that. You know, I never thought of it. I thought it was just some phrase, right? But try putting your boots on and taking those straps and pulling yourself up. It's never going to work, right? And I guess that's the humor in it. But you can never, and in this case as well, in following Christ, you can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We can't learn to endure each other's quirks, sins, mistakes, issues without looking to Christ. It's never going to happen. So Hebrews 12, let's read the first three verses here of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, which are in chapter 11, all the examples of faith, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So let us run with endurance the race. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that, verse 2, by looking to Jesus. Well, why does that help? Because he endured the cross. And he knew he would be reunited with the Father. That was the joy set before him. And so he counted the shame of the cross as being light. And he knew then that he would be sitting down at the right hand of God. So consider him. Look at him. He endured the cross. He endured such hostility against himself. Now, you see that? You see what he's done? Now you persevere in your love for others. It is finished, he cried. Oh, what love for me, he died. In my stead, he bled on Calvary. Once for all, Christ rescued me. They bruised him for my iniquities. They crushed him. They beat him. They bruised him. They mocked him. And he endured that for me. He endured God's wrath for me. In my place. He did it all for me. Ponder that. Look full in his face with that in mind. Consider that. Now, brother so-and-so has done this to sister so-and-so. I am on your team, right? We're all in this together. We are in it together. Now, look at Christ. He has borne all of it for me. He has endured all of this for me. Ah, by God's grace and through his love, I'm going to endure this with you and us all together. I'm not going to complain against you. Love wouldn't do that, mistreat you. No, I've seen the face of Christ dying for me. His thorn-crowned brow, that I might have the crown of life. I'll endure the mistreatment of sinners and saints alike. And I'll seek to love you and to care for you. Why? Because I've considered Jesus, who has endured such hostility for me. And by his grace, I'm going to endure, I'm going to keep going, I'm going to love, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to love. That's what I want to do. That is the heart. And we do fail at that. And God is merciful through all of those failures. And when we confess that to him, confess that to others, he is so gracious and kind to totally dismiss all of that guilt. And then we keep going again. No, we just keep going. We just keep loving. We just keep back. We just get right back up. And we attempt once again to keep on loving. So if we do this, if we look to him is the focus here. We're looking to Christ. Then we'll not grow weary in our love. We will not grow faint-hearted in our love. It is God's design that as you look long into the face of Christ, that you'll grow in your endurance, in your love for others. But that is going to take a pondering in his word, a seeking him in prayer, and a being controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. So turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, you know, did you ever consider it this way? Those kinds of things, the reasons why you have to endure with other people, yeah, those kinds of things will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And though I struggle, yet by his love I'll endure. Though challenges come, and they will come, have come, and will come today, right? And the challenge to love and keep on loving other people. God's love flowing through me. I will not quit loving. Like it is with children. And you think about loving kids. There is nothing that they could possibly do that would keep me from at least trying to love them and to be patient with them and being kind with them, though I would fail at times too. By His grace, we'll get back up again and try again by His grace, looking at Christ, regularly being filled with the glories of His endurance and myself enduring like Him. Like Christ on the cross, love endures scorn. Failure. Love endures mistreatment. Love endures ingratitude and difficult cases. And at the end, love shines forth the light of the resurrection. And that's because love never ends. Love perseveres and keeps on loving. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You now after hearing what we have. And we see the great love of Christ. We see the hostility that He endured. We see the sin with which He was sinned against. We understand the beatings that He endured. And that He did that for us. Father, we want right now to behold that glory in our souls. Give us a fresh understanding, a fresh application of the glories of Christ's death. Help us behold His wonderful face. And as we ponder in the past any mistreatment that we may have received, or any cases in which it's difficult to love, we pray that we would keep on loving and that we wouldn't stop, that we would courageously, valiantly press forward into the battle and love. Help us to deny ourselves and to love and to keep on loving and to love and to be patient and to be kind yet again. And help us to do that. Our Father, please, we ask. For we know that Christ has done this for us. And may we be like Him. Thank You for Your great love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Number 486. 486. O Master, let me walk with Thee. This is a desire, a prayer. It's a prayer to the Lord that we would, that He would help us to walk with Him, to live with Him. That first stanza, O Master, let me walk with You in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Your secret. Help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me to bear this. This is our prayer. We'll stand together, number 486. Oh, Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care.
Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give with thee.
Thank you for coming this morning. We are dismissed.